Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are. What an atmosphere. Amen. Amen. God is so good. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I believe November is the Glover's anniversary, I believe. Is that correct? Am I mistaken? Church anniversary. Okay. So we've kind of got these 2 months jam-packed together. But we're so very thankful for the Glovers. We're so thankful for Brother and Sister Glover, their children, their dedication. Amen. Amen. But we are going to have a little bit of a special service here. I want you to get your Bibles. We're going to go to Acts chapter 12. So, Acts chapter 12, verse 5, we read about a passage of Scripture where a miracle happens, but Peter has been put into prison because Herod has already executed James, and he found out how much the people liked that, so he grabs up Peter, puts him in jail, and verse 5 picks up, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we're just going to read that, and we're going to go a little bit through this passage of Scripture. But I want to preach for just a little bit about let your preacher in. We're so very blessed in the fact that we have such a phenomenal pastor. He's a phenomenal preacher. There is not a better preacher ever. So we're so very blessed to have that. And I oftentimes, if you don't listen to a lot of preaching, sometimes you might not realize how lucky we have it. But we are so very blessed to have him in the study and the time that he puts in. Yeah, no. But, so we're thankful for that. Exodus chapter 20, 18 and 19 tells us that, and the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. From the very beginning, we see this people known as Israel, you can be seated, asking for somebody to preach to them, to speak to them, asking that somebody interpret what God has for the congregation. We want you, Moses, to speak to us what God has said. We've seen how powerful he is. We've seen how awesome he is. He showed up on this mountain, and now it's terrifying. It can be so terrifying sometimes when God comes into our life and begins to work and begins to move. And it can be unsettling. And if we don't have the voice of a preacher to help interpret that, to help guide that, to help bring that to pass, we look at God as something so abstract. Here he is, this cloud of thunder and lightning, and there's this trumpet, and it's so powerful, and it's such an awesome thing, but people are scared of that. And so God gave them Moses to interpret what God is saying. To take God's word and have it come out of the mouth of a man as that man communes with God and spends time with God and intercedes on their behalf time and time and time again. When Israel is failing and they're complaining and God is saying, I'm ready to be done with these people. It's Moses who goes before the face of God and intervenes and prays and says, Lord, don't take your presence from them just yet. What would you do? What would people say if you brought them out of Egypt and then you just left them out here to die? Yeah. It's a pastor, it's a preacher who intercedes for them. Amen. It's so powerful to have a pastor. It's so powerful to have a preacher that's able to communicate God's word in a way that we can understand, in a way that will help us, in a way that will strengthen us. We're so blessed to have that. So Acts chapter 12, we read about Peter. And here he is, he's put into prison. The Bible tells us that he's chained to guards. He's fast asleep. But verse 5, it says that prayer without ceasing was made unto God for him. That's such a powerful thing, that the church would pray without ceasing for their preacher. That no matter the situation Peter is in, there are people that have his back. There are people that are willing to stay up late at night and early in the morning and pray without ceasing for the man of God, for revival, for a miracle, for God to move. That's so awesome that there's a church like that. And I would pray that Connect Point would be like that. I would pray that there are people that would intercede for our pastor, intercede for his wife and for his children. Because who knows what the enemy has in store for them? Who knows what your prayers do and what you hold back? When Peter's bound up in prison and he's in chains and he's shackled to guards and he's getting ready to be executed, it's the church that prays. And the Bible tells us that an angel comes to Peter and his chains fall off, and the angel tells him, stand up. Stand up and put on your coat and put on your shoes. It's those prayers that group of people are praying. Amen. That's moving the hand of God. That's saying, get up, preacher. Get up, pastor. Shake those chains off of you. Whatever's been binding you from speaking, whatever's been keeping you from preaching what you feel like you should preach, shake those chains off of you. Put your coat on. Put your shoes on. You've got provision. The church will provide it for you. We'll help you. We'll make a way for you. We'll clothe you. We'll prepare you. We'll give you what you need so that you can walk off into the dark dungeon that is this world. And as the angel begins to lead him, the Bible tells us that they go from one area of the prison to the next area of the prison. That's what we should pray for, is that God would move in the Glover household and that God would begin to take them to new areas, areas that were off limits to them before, but now they've been loosed. Now they've got chains broken off. They're covered with clothing. They've got shoes on their feet, and now they can go into the new places of the prison, but not just the new places. The Bible tells us that Peter gets to the gate and it's locked, and there's no way for it to open other than God. It's not just the gate that leads out of whatever prison. It's not the gate that just leads out of whatever area that they might be confined to, but it's the gate that opens up into the city, the Bible says. Verse 10, it says, they went past the first and the second ward, and they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. It's those prayers those people are praying that's allowing Peter to experience this move of God. It's their prayers that are allowing him to be set free and to be loosed and to walk into areas where he didn't have access before. He was chained before, but now he can go to the first level and the second level. And finally, he'll make his way to the gate that opens up into the city, and he finds himself out on the street. That's what we desire for Connect Point, that we would have the gate open to our city, that we would be able to go out to the street. And just like Peter, we show up out there without really understanding how it happened. I thought it was a vision that I was having. We want our pastor to have a vision. We want our pastor to have clear direction. We want our pastor to be led by God. We want our pastor to be brought out of any area that would try to confine him. We want our pastor to bring forth the word. Verse 11, it says, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent an angel. There are many times, and I'm not a pastor, but just as a preacher, you step before a pulpit and you know that you have spent time in prayer. And you know that you have experienced God, and what His Word says is what you feel to preach. But there are many times you step behind a pulpit unsure. Is this what God has for this moment? But Peter, standing out there, can say, I know with a surety that God has delivered me. I know with a surety that He brought me out of the hands of the enemy. I know with a surety that I was bound and I was confined, but now I'm free. He says that came, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Here is Peter in prison, confined. The Bible tells us in the beginning of Acts that the disciples would go from house to house, fellowshipping, breaking bread with one another. Peter's confined, but yet he knows if I go to Mary's house, there'll be people there.
Yeah, amen.
Or in other words, the Glovers have people that they can rely on. That know I can call up this person and they're a yes. And I can go here and I'll receive what I need. I know that they'll be praying for me. I know that they're going to always be seeking after God on my behalf. That's so powerful that out of all of the houses in Jerusalem, all of the houses in the city, Peter knows, I know that Mary's house is going to be a house of prayer. I know this place is where I can go to get refuge. Of all the places he could go, when he considers it, I know there's one person who has their house open. I know there's one person who's praying. I know there's one person who's interceding on my behalf. I'm going to go there. And the Bible tells us that he gets there and he begins to knock. He knocks at the door of the gate and a damsel named Rhoda hears him. And the Bible tells us in verse 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, Rhoda, just a member of Mary's household, knows Peter's voice. Do you know your pastor's voice? Do you know your pastor's voice? Do you know what it is to have him speak into your life and say, cut this out or let this grow? The only time we read about Peter's voice is Acts chapter 2, verse 14. That's when he preaches the first gospel message. And the Bible tells us that he lifted up his voice and he says, ye men and brethren, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. There's been some preaching that's happened up until this point, but there's a servant girl out of everybody that just knows by the voice, that's my preacher. I recognize that voice. I recognize that knock. I recognize what he's saying to me. Do you know his voice? It's so amazing that she knows his voice muffled behind a door. So even when things aren't clear in your life, can you pick out your pastor's voice from all the other voices of the world and all the other counsel that we might seek? Can you hear his voice? And the most amazing thing happens. The Bible tells us that for gladness, she doesn't let him in. And she runs back and tells the others that Peter is standing outside. And they say to her, you're mad. You're crazy. But thankfully, Peter kept knocking. The Bible says that he continues to knock. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I think that all of these things, praying for our pastor, that's so vital. If we're not doing that, then we will not grow as a church. If we're not willing to clothe them and to feed them, we won't grow as a church. If we're not willing to pray that God would lead him and guide him to new places, we won't grow as a church. If we're not willing to pray that he has a vision for Connect Point, we won't grow as a church. And we can get so caught up in all of that that we forget to actually let him into our life. We can hear his voice and we can know it and still leave him standing outside. How many times have we come to service and we've heard such an amazing word of God and his presence is so rich and our pastor is preaching and he might be preaching directly to you. But nothing changes. You hear his voice and you say, oh, that's such a powerful word, Pastor. But you never actually let it penetrate inside of you. You never actually let him in. He's still standing, knocking, saying, hey, I've been free. I'm ready. We're ready to do this thing. I'm ready to tell you about how good God is and all the things that he's done. But he's standing outside of your house. You've not granted him access. You've not allowed him in. Finally, verse 17, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought them out of prison. Or he begins to preach because they finally let him in. We can pray, we can intercede, we can give, we can serve, we can do all of those things. But when the moment comes for our pastor to begin to preach, look at what God has done. We will miss out every time if we do not allow his word and him to come into our life and begin to speak. If you don't allow him, if I don't allow him to speak into my life, then he's left on the outside and I'm still left praying, never knowing the miracle that God has just done. It's a sad thing that there have been so many people, not just in Connect Point, but just throughout Christian heritage, we read about it in the Bible, of people who were not willing to listen to the voice of a preacher. They're not willing to listen to his voice. They're not willing to allow him to speak into their life. It isn't just a man that's preaching. Jesus himself experienced the same thing. When a rich young ruler comes running to him and says, what do I have to do to receive eternal life? And Jesus looks at him and says, keep your commandments. And he says, I've already done that. He's already ignored the first part. Jesus speaking to him directly. And he says, yeah, I got that covered already, Jesus. And so Jesus tells him, well, take everything that you have, sell it, and give it to the poor. And the Bible says he doesn't listen. But he goes away sorrowful. An encounter with Jesus, an encounter with a preacher, and you leave worse than the way you were. All because I'm not going to let you in my life. I'll pray for you. I'll serve. I'll make sure that I bring this or I bring that. And I'll do this, but don't dare speak into my life. Don't dare come into my house. Don't dare to begin to talk to me about my relationship with God. I can just give you a testimony of just how important it is. I would not be where I'm at today if it was not for that man. I would not be the preacher that I am if it were not for that man. Because when I first started preaching and begin to really devote myself to this. You have times where you ebb and you flow and you desire so much of God, and then you just kind of lose whatever desire that is and it comes back. But so many times there would be a text message of, hey, what are you feeling? What have you been studying? And it's like, oh my, I don't know what I've been studying. And you can take offense to that. Be like, well, why do you care? Like, well, why does it matter what I've been studying? How dare you talk to me about my walk with God? How dare you try to encourage me? How dare you try to make me into something better than what I am? But that sounds so foolish. But we're so guilty of it. When we hear a word that comes across the pulpit and it begins to prick our heart and our soul, and we begin to say, oh, what in the world? Why is he preaching about this? Or how come he's preaching about attitude all of a sudden? And why is he preaching about patience? And why is he talking about loving my spouse or treating my neighbor like I want to be treated? And we get upset and we think, oh, that message was for so-and-so, and that message was for you over there, but I won't let you into my house. I'll hear your voice. I'll know your voice. But don't come in. It sounds so crazy that we would listen to a man stand up here reading a book yelling at you. That's a crazy, crazy thing. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, it's, for after that all the wisdom of God, the word of wisdom, knew not God. All of those people that were wise, they're looking to philosophy. They're looking to the law. They're looking to this. They're looking to that. And Paul is saying, all of that wisdom that they have is foolishness. It doesn't hold anything. But that verse continues on and it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's by preaching that we're saved. It's by a man of God speaking to a people just like Moses. That very next chapter is the commandments of what you should and should not do. It's God speaking through a man to help you grow in your spiritual walk. It's God praying through a man, interceding on your behalf, so that you can experience favor, so that you can experience growth, so that you can experience blessing. Acts 20 and 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That right there is the duty of the pastor. To take heed of yourselves and all the flock. 1 Peter 2 and 25, it's no wonder that it's Peter that would write this. It says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, or Jesus is what it's referring to. But not just Jesus, the bishop of your soul. It's not just enough to have a relationship with Jesus. Peter is telling us, yes, he purchased you. Yes, his blood was shed for you. You need that. But you need a bishop. You need a man of God in your life. You need somebody that the great shepherd has set into a place to lead and guide you and to care for your soul. It's no wonder Peter would write that. Because he understands what it is to be bound and delivered by the prayers of a church. He understands what it is to have somebody respond immediately and then be left out in the cold. He understands what it is to finally gain access and to be able to tell about how good God is. Peter would write that because he understands the ups and downs of being a preacher. He understands what it is to be so full of faith to say, "I'll die with you, Jesus," and just a few minutes later, deny Him. He understands what it's like to experience redemption as Jesus shows up again and again and again for Peter. He understands what it is to be called and to have his name changed and to have a calling placed on his life. He understands what it is to have a conversation with Jesus where he's asking, "Do you love me, Peter? If you do, then feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep." It's been hammered into his heart, into his mind, time after time after time, that these are my people. I'm successful when they're successful. I'm blessed when they're blessed. And so every word that Peter is preaching is a word not just of man, but a word that has been given by God to a city, to a congregation, to a people, for us to know His voice, to hear what He saith, and to let Him into our lives. We could go hoarse so many different ways. But by the foolishness of preaching, by the fact that he stands up here and he rants and he raves and he sweats through everything he owns, it's the foolishness. But there's such power in that when there's a group of people that are willing to say, "Okay, Pastor, what do you have for me today? Okay, Pastor, what have you got for me? How are you going to help me grow today? What word did God give you today for me? I'm ready. I'm ready to experience it. I'm ready to go on this journey with you. I'm ready to pray for you. I'm ready to help you." There's such power in that. So why don't you stand with me? We're so truly blessed to have the man of God we have. So truly blessed to have the family that we have is our first family. Listen to his voice and let him in. We have to let his word sink into our life. If that means that you have to go back and listen to message again and again and again until you get what he's trying to say, then do that. If it means you need to adjust your schedule so that you can spend time in prayer for our family, for him, do that. But most importantly, let him speak into your life. Because he's showing up with an awesome testimony of how good God is and all the wonderful things that he has done. It's so amazing to me. Those last four verses there, 12 through 17, or five verses. That Peter knocked at the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew it was Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. For gladness. That's so misleading. And we're so blessed to have an atmosphere here every Sunday. And to have a word from God every Sunday. That for gladness, we can leave him standing outside. That in those moments of, I'm so pumped up. He's free. He stands at the door. He's knocking. That we completely forget about letting him in. It's mind-boggling that that would even happen. But it happens so often. That the word that is spoken in the moment is so powerful. And we can, in our best intentions, go out and tell everybody what the word is. And never actually have it enter into our home. I don't know if I can make that any clearer. But that's such a danger. Because we'll get so caught up in, I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for the church. But I'm not going to let you in my life. It doesn't even make sense why it happens, but it happens. That the miracle is standing right in front of you. And I've just got to go tell somebody. Without ever actually grabbing on to the word. How many times has there been deliverance available? How many times has there been the opportunity for growth to happen? In a moment, the preacher is saying, God's ready. And it's silent. That's the preacher knocking, 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 knocking. And everybody's hearing. And it's so exciting. He's out there. Right. But I'm not going to let him in. But when you do, finally, right. It's glory. Amen. That's the outcome of this story. It's glory. All of a sudden you realize my prayers weren't in vain. Yeah. That we've been praying day in and day out. Right. And now it's the last day. Yeah. Tomorrow's the day Herod's going to execute him. Yep. We've been praying all Passover. All along we've been praying, praying, praying. No report, no report. Still in prison. Still's not happening. Still's not happening. Still's not happening. And God decides to move. And you leave the answer to your prayer standing outside. How many times have we prayed, Lord, deliver me from this, deliver me from that. Help my family, help my marriage, help my kids, help this, help that. And the word comes forward saying it's available. And there's nothing. Nothing. He's still standing out there. I thought this was the place. We obviously don't know what goes through Peter's mind in that moment. Right. But can you imagine the elation of there's somebody there? Yeah. Where'd they go? Yeah. We don't know that self-doubt. If there's a man that battles with self-doubt, it's Peter. So who knows what happens in that time where Rhoda shows up and he hears some scuffling on the other side of the door and somebody's heard me. That word I have, that knock that I've been sending out, it finally made contact with somebody. And then it's just silence. For me, it makes me begin to think, well, did I miss it? Like, should I have gone over here in the scripture? Or should I have gone over there in the scripture? Because I thought what I had was so good for the congregation. I thought what I had was so powerful. That I'm knocking and I'm knocking and I'm knocking. And I get so close to the voice. I can hear him on the other side. But the door is still closed. I must have missed it. I must have to go to another house now. It's so defeating when you've got such an awesome word of look at how good God is. If there is ever a testimony, that's a testimony. Bound in between two guards. Delivered. An angel shows up and leads me out. The gates just open. A light shines bright and I'm the only one that wakes up. That's a miracle in itself. And here he is ready to deliver this awesome testimony. And nobody's there to let him in. That word that goes forward is for now. Every time our pastor preaches, it's not for tomorrow, it's for now. It's for now. Every time he speaks, it's for now. It's what you need in this moment. Because Jesus would say, don't worry about tomorrow. And so when his word goes forward, it's not for tomorrow, it's for what you need right now. When there's deliverance available, it's not available tomorrow. It's available in the moment. When there's that anointing that's flowing that can change your life, it's available in the moment. It's that first message that he preaches to those men that are standing outside. Questioning, what's going on here? We hear people talking. And they're talking my language. And Peter stands up and begins to preach. The Bible tells us they were pricked in their hearts in that moment. It's that message that does it. It's not the next message. It's that message. It's for that moment. It's for that time. Next week will be for next week. But this moment is for right now. This message is for right now. We have to open up the door and let him in. For now. That word that he preaches, it's for now. We cannot let an opportunity go by where the word for deliverance, the word for the Holy Ghost, the word for baptism, the word for whatever it is that you're needing in that moment. For gladness. I run away because it was so powerful. He's outside. But here she is, Rhoda. She gets the opportunity to be the first person to experience Peter. be the first person to open up that door and to allow him in. Who knows what opportunity was available for her? We read about her one time in the Bible. And she runs back to the church. She's praying. And they look at her like, "You're crazy." They look at her like she's crazy. Because she didn't let Peter in. Because in that moment, when Peter shows up and begins to knock, she has the opportunity to receive something. And when you receive something, and you've got it in hand, it doesn't matter where you go to tell people about it. It's more than just my word. I've got the evidence of it standing right next to me. I've got the evidence that my prayer works standing right beside me. There's no doubt in those people's minds when Peter walks in with Rhoda. But she leaves him outside and comes back in and is confronted. Because in the opportunity for her to receive what she's been praying for, she leaves it. Because it's such good news. I've got to go tell. And people look at her and they don't believe her. Because she left the evidence outside. She didn't bring the miracle with her. So then they say, "Well, it's just an angel. It's his angel." Yeah, okay, well, because that makes more sense. I mean, but when the word of God is going forth, and it's available for you to grab onto and bring in, and you neglect to do that. Right. When you show up talking about our prayers have been answered. Uh-huh. You're met immediately with, "Well, prove it. Prove it." We could probably talk for days about how little amount of faith those people had that were praying. But it doesn't matter how much faith they have. Right. Amen. It doesn't. It's just that they're praying. They're interceding. Which we get so caught up in, "Yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll do this. I'll stay up all night if I need to. Yeah, sure. But then it's, "Well, don't, he's not really here." It doesn't matter how much faith they have. The story is not about how the church prays and God delivers. The story is about how Peter gets left out in the cold. Of course, God delivers. The church prayed, whether they had the maximum amount of faith or the least amount of faith. That does not matter. They had enough faith to pray. They didn't have enough faith to believe in the moment, but they had enough faith to pray. And that's all God asks for. Is that you just have faith in me and I'll do a work. But when I read that, the point is not how the church prays. It's how you have a missed opportunity. Because those people in the room, when Rhoda shows up and says, Peter's outside. And they begin to say, no, it's not. Their faith that they have just tanks. Because she didn't bring any evidence with her. She shows up with Peter. That place is going to explode. But then when finally Peter's let in, it's, oh wait, are you sure? Like, wait, what happened? Are you sure? And he's got a, quiet, let me tell you about how good God is. He's got to go through all their questions, all this, all that. When the miracle was ready to happen moments ago, but a missed opportunity makes everybody question. Instead of capitalizing on that moment, Peter standing outside wondering, are they going to let me in? I wonder. And the people inside are saying, God can't do that. No, it's just an angel. It's just this. It's just that. There's so much doubt in this story just because she didn't open up the door. Let our pastor speak into your life. So I want him to come up right now, and I just want him to speak whatever it is that he feels.